Oh, back here, we're looking at domestic matters. Alan Cawley is with me in studio and Karen Duggan. We're also joined by our RTE soccer correspondent, Tony O'Donoghue, because it's been a very busy 24 hours at Dundalk. More managerial departures today. Tony, what's the latest you can tell us?
Well, the latest I can tell you is that Dundalk Football Club, who have been dominating Irish football for the last decade, are in crisis, you'd have to say, because Shane Keegan resigned as manager on Friday. On Friday night, as it turns out, I was at the Brandywell, and at the end of the game, I had a tap on the shoulder from someone. I looked around, it was Filippo Giovagnoli. He was there to scout who Dundalk's next opponents will be, Derry City, up at the Brandywell on Tuesday. He certainly thought he was going to be in charge, but now he's gone as well. There were reports that his Italian sidekick, Giuseppe Rossi, has left as well. I understand he may be staying. There are going to be conversations later on this evening about that, but at the moment, Jim McGilton is the sporting director, if you like, of Dundalk Football Club. He may have to be the one to take charge of the game. He has got a pro licence. He may have to take charge of the club away to Derry City on Tuesday. But the club is a mess. It's someone close to the club said to me earlier, Peak Six owned Dundalk Football Club, but Bill Hulsizer runs Dundalk Football Club. Bill Hulsizer is the father of one of the Peak Six people, and he seems to be running the club from his Florida base, which is why communications are an issue, which is why it'll be later this evening before any clarity can be brought to the situation. I'm told also by Dundalk that there can be no statement until tomorrow. That's the reaction that Jim McGilton gave after the game as well on Friday evening. A lot of speculation that perhaps Ger Little might be coming in to the job. He's a stablemate of Jim McGilton, if you like, in the agency First for Players. Stephen McDonald, the Dundalk Academy manager, is also there, and First for Players also represent a number of the senior Dundalk players, the likes of Chris Shields, Pat Hoop and David McMillan. So that might be a connection, but there's been other names mentioned. Dave Rogers, a former player. John Sheridan even, who's been let go from Swindon Town. He had a short stint in the League of Ireland last season with Waterford. But yeah, Dundalk have been described also as a bit of a circus recently, and it is a shame because, you know, it's clear that Filippo Giovagnoli achieved his target when he was surprisingly brought in last year. He won a trophy, the FAI Cup. He qualified them for the group stages of the Champions League and qualified them for Europe. So, you know, he was expecting certain things to be made clear to him and for the season. But it seems that it was only just 4 days before the season that this new management structure was announced, where Filippo and Giuseppe had to take a back seat, as it were, and Shane Keegan, who I'm told was only informed of this 10 minutes before that press conference, he was to go out front as the manager. He has the licence, of course, but it put him in an invidious position because we had a situation: who was picking the Dundalk team, who was instructing the players, who was the boss in the dressing room, who were they listening to? So Shane Keegan perhaps did the honourable thing and resigned from an impossible position. Filippo Giovagnoli is gone as well. No statement, I'm told, till at least tomorrow, so that means that American time needs to be worked on. Giuseppe Rossi might be staying on, but Dundalk Football Club in quite a mess at the moment.
Tony, it's just been a terrible fall from grace. Like, we were chatting here off air just about even 2 years ago, they're flying high. It's only very recently they were playing against Arsenal in Europe and there was so much good things going on in the club. How has it fallen away like this?
Well, when you look at player recruitment, for example, when players are coming in that, you know, the managers may not have wanted to come in, when someone else is making those decisions on a whim, it might seem, it's very hard for the players to see who's running the team, what's the shape of the team, what are the tactics. We found that, you know, in recent games, they're just throwing on forwards, having, you know, two players in midfield. And getting overrun. Now, they had, a better result, if you like, against St. Pat's in the draw they had on Friday. Derry will be a test for them on Tuesday. But, yeah, they're falling away. We expect Dundalk to be up there, along with Shamrock Rovers, at the top of the table, and perhaps Bohemians as well, as they have been for, as I say, the best part of the last decade. But this has been a huge fall from grace, and there needs to be one voice in the training ground, one voice in the dressing room, and perhaps one voice in the boardroom, but that loudest voice certainly appears to be Bill Hulsizer in Florida.
Crazy, crazy situation. Tony, before we let you go and we bring in our soccer guests here in studio, what do you expect to happen next? Obviously, you're saying, look, we're kind of waiting for American time zones, this and that, what's going to happen? Like, they obviously have a game on Tuesday, they have a game on Saturday. It's a busy week to be dealing with all this managerial crisis as well on top of all this.
And the FAI have to, you know, take a firm view on this. I think Pat Fenlon made a very good point recently. You know, pro licenses aren't being handed out like confetti. They're supposed to mean something. And someone should have, it's now part of the licensing process that you must have a pro license if you're to take charge of a team in the Premier Division. So who's taking charge? I think they seem to turn a bit of a blind eye to the situation. Shane Keegan had a pro license. Everyone could see that he wasn't, you know, picking the team on his own, and he wasn't the only one in charge. So what they'll need to do soon is get someone in. And will it be Jim McGilton, who's meant to be director of football? Will he come in just for one or two games? Who else is coming in down the line? I mean, you know, it's something that needs to be sorted pretty quickly, and they have to adhere to the licensing regulations. But they may be given some period of grace, but they don't have long to sort this one out.
No, they certainly do not. Tony O'Donoghue, our soccer correspondent, thanks for bringing us up to date with the very latest from there. I mentioned Alan Cawley and Karen Duggan are with us. What do you make of all that, Alan?
I would echo kind of everything that Tony had said, really, Jackie, in terms of being a mess. And it's quite sad, really, when you think of the success that Dundalk have had. And we've loved the story of the Dundalk success over the years. But this has been brought on themselves because, as you say, Jackie, it's been some fall from grace. It's been so badly mismanaged from the top down. Bill Hulsier, as Tony mentioned here, seems to be interfering in a lot of things that he shouldn't be interfering. Now, he'll argue it's his club, it's his baby. But when you start interfering with team selection and signings and recruitment and all sorts that seems to be going on, and some of the bizarre interventions and that we were kind of hearing rumours of last year, and what he was trying to kind of, I'm not sure, implement there in putting a phone on the dugout and all sorts of mad stuff we were hearing. It's just, it's really sad, really. I feel a little bit for Shane Keegan, I have to say, because to be fair to Shane, he was brought in as part of Vinnie Peart's team as the opposition analyst. He all of a sudden found himself in a position where, no disrespect to him, but it wasn't there on merit that he was the manager. They made a song and dance about it at the start of the season as to him being the manager. And why they did that, I don't know, because everybody knew the arrangement with Filippo when he came in last year that he was the manager. It would have been the same arrangement this year, even though he didn't have the pro licence. And why they decided 4 days before the start of the season to make this song and dance, and it created this uncertainty around the place. And everybody straight away knew this is not going to work. And certainly if results went okay, they may have gotten away with it, but as soon as results were to go anyway pear-shaped, they were going to be ridiculed, and that's exactly what happened. The players are receiving mixed messages as well. You need one manager, one voice in the dressing room, and the players want that. They want clarity in the message that's been put across to them. They certainly weren't receiving that. I was at two or three of Dundalk's matches so far, and you have Shane Keegan down on the sideline, you have Filippo up in the stand roaring down messages. You had a situation in Sligo when Sligo Rovers were on top in the game. Shane Keegan was out front, and as soon as Sligo Rovers were on top, Shane Keegan took a back seat, and we all knew who the manager was. Filippo was up roaring and shouting on the sideline. So it was a bizarre situation. It was always going to end in tears, I felt as well, Jackie. I kind of admire Shane Keegan from walking away, because as I said, I'd have a lot more respect the fact that he did walk away, because as I say, he was in a no-win situation and he was being put out front, and none of this had any bearing on him whatsoever in terms of being responsible for any of this. Filippo was brought in last year. It was an opportunity, a chance for him. I always felt the jury was out on him, even though he delivered winning a cup and the European stuff. But from the top down, it's been mismanaged so badly. And it's quite sad, really, because as Tony outlined, the success that they've had over the years, And what's the legacy of it now, Jackie? Like, you look at the ground situation, it's absolutely disastrous. It's dreadful. It's probably the worst ground in the country, which is so sad to see when we're looking for improvements and moving the game on and moving the game forward. And this has been the club that has been the standard bearer for the last number of years, and the prize money that they've earned and what they've won, yet they've absolutely nothing to show for it. Peak Six will walk away maybe down the line, and yet it'll still be the shell of a ground that's left there. And you feel for the fans and the people that are involved. A lot of local people are involved before Peak Six came, and they've all been kind of pushed aside, and good people as well. So it's quite sad to see, and it's a bit of a mess. And I mentioned that at the start of this answer, a long-winded answer, that I felt a bit sad, but it's hard to have sympathy for them as well, Jackie, when they've managed it so badly.
Yeah, Karen, that's the point I was going to make, that Alan is absolutely right. You can have sympathy for the individuals involved, the players, but from a club point of view, they were on the top of the pile, and they've just clearly mismanaged this whole situation very badly.
Yeah, massively. Like, these players haven't become bad players overnight. The results are very, very poor for the standard that they have in that club, but it all comes from top down. If you have that uncertainty at the top, it infiltrates your way into the team, and we're seeing that in their results. And it is sad, and it's sad for those players because they know that there is more within them and there's more within that club. But when you have that kind of messing going on at the top level, you can't ignore it, as much as you might say, oh, whatever happens in those 90 minutes happens. It's not like that. There's an uncertainty in the dugout. There's an uncertainty above that. Are they invested enough? Like you said, even the ground not being as developed as it should be. It's a sad state of affairs, considering that they could really have driven the standards for not just Dundalk, but for the League of Ireland, considering the success that they've had. And they've had these European runs, and they've been really, really good to watch, and they've been a great advertisement for what we have in this country. But the way that they've fallen from grace in the past five games is a reflection of how it's been managed. And yeah, like Alan said, it is sad to see.
The crazy thing, Alan, is they got a good point at the weekend. They've got Derry City Tuesday, draw it on Saturday. Shane Keegan had said before those games, 3 games in 7 days, that they probably needed to get 7 or 9 points from those games. If they can do something this week, the ability to turn this around is there. If this group of players could get a hold of it, do something positive, get someone in there, this thing is not gone. It's not unfixable, for want of a better phrase.
No, because it's still so early in the season, Jackie, as you said, 5 games into it. But and the players, look, have to take a bit of responsibility as well. They're getting well paid. It's the highest budget. It's one of the highest budgets that we've ever seen in the League of Ireland. That shouldn't be lost either, Jackie. So there's a lot of responsibility on the players to deliver as well. And that hasn't happened. But I feel it's... The reason it hasn't happened in terms of the players delivering is because of the mixed messaging and the uncertainty around the whole thing that's happening. And that's kind of clear to see, and it's obvious to see, you know. So if somebody does come in, I actually think they must have somebody lined up. They would have to. I listened to Jim McGilton interview last night, and I know that a couple of the names that are being bandied about, I think they do have someone lined up, and it won't surprise me maybe in the next 24 hours that we hear somebody announced. Whether that person will be the calibre, as you said, that'll turn it around in quick time. But the players are there, the squad is there in terms of being able, like, it's not like it's taken over a squad that's in rag order. Like, it's, as I said, it's a really top quality squad in terms of the players that are there. I know there's a lot, some of them have left and some new lads have come in, but the nucleus of that squad that's been successful over a number of years, there's still a lot of those players there. So if somebody does come in, obviously it's a huge opportunity for them. But the problem is, whoever does come in, you still have the same issues with who's in charge at the top, and will they have full say in what they're allowed to do and what they're allowed to be implemented? Because Filippo didn't have Vinnie Pert. I know there was interference when Vinnie was there as well, which led to Vinnie ended up leaving. So this seems to be a major problem at the very top level. Whatever manager does come in, and Bill Hulsier is obviously the man calling the shots, is he going to allow and kind of take that power trip that he's on at the moment and kind of relinquish some of that power and allow a manager come in and actually do the job that he's there to do?
This is the big question, Karen, because this is not a problem that has started with Shane Keegan or with Filippo. Vinnie Pert, obviously, when he was in charge, we had the same situation. We were hearing he wasn't picking the team. If this team is being managed from America, can fans, because I'm sure they're starting to get annoyed by this as well, can they be sure that whoever does go in, that they will actually be managing the team?
No, unfortunately they can't at the moment, and that was reflected. I think there was banners outside the stadium there on their last night. The fans are fed up. They know what's going on as well. So it's gonna, whoever comes in, you hope that they know what they're getting themselves in for, that they know that they'll have to manage and be managed from the top where it's coming from. You'd hope now that they've kind of learned their lesson in America, that they need to let the manager really take hold of the squad and kind of revive the season, because, yeah, we're only 5 games in, but it is on a downward trajectory compared to what they were last season. So it's going to be interesting to see who they get in. I think they need a really, really strong-willed person. The opportunity that they have is that they are still a very attractive club in terms of the fact that they've, what they've done in Europe, their name within the domestic league here is massive. So it's a very attractive job, but you will need someone who's very, very strong-willed and someone who's willing to form a relationship with a company, essentially, as opposed to just kind of the fans and the players. You have to be a businessman nearly as well as a manager, and it's a tricky one, but I hope whoever they get in does have that kind of strong will to be able to manage both aspects of this club.
Yeah, I think to be fair to Jim as well, Jim McGilton, I know I spoke to him a few weeks ago actually, and he was bogged down by a lot of the paperwork and stuff that he didn't actually think would be involved in the job when he took over. But this is certainly a role now that, or kind of a decision that he will be heavily involved in terms of the manager. So we've already heard rumours of maybe people that have been linked to Jim and people that he might know. And Tony obviously mentioned a couple of names there. So I think he is a huge part now in it. And maybe it could be a case of the fact that he plays a more prominent role, and whoever comes in, there's already a relationship there with Jim, and they kind of take over the running of it as such. And rather than the new manager answering to Bill Hulsier, that there's an agreement or an understanding there that it will be more, he'll be more answerable to Jim, because obviously Jim is the sporting director. You'd like to think that's what might happen. Whether it will remains to be seen, Jackie. But this like, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest, Jackie. This was coming. That's the sad thing about this. Everybody could see this was coming. It's not like we're trying to be wise after the event here. Everybody could see that this was going to end in tears, and that's exactly what's happened here.